Well, we have now got Rex Curry on the line, Eileen, and Rex is both an attorney and a historian here in the state of Florida. And Rex has got a website, and he talks about the history of the Pledge of Allegiance and the straight arm salute. So that we have really got kind of an interesting take here. And Rex, do you really believe that that the pledge is connected to the Nazis and to socialism?
Definitely. Of course, Paul, you mentioned Nazis and socialism. A lot of people don't realize that the word Nazi was not used by the Nazis. In fact, it's an abbreviation. The abbreviation is for the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which is, in fact, what they called themselves. They refer to themselves as socialists and the National Socialists, and by the name of their entire party. The word Nazi was used by people who were insulting them. It was a derisive term, the term Nazi, and it also comes from the abbreviation, essentially, of the word national. I don't speak German, but if you pronounce the name of their party, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, in German, then the very first part of the entire long name of their party sounds sort of like Nazi.
So tell us about the straight arm Pledge of Allegiance. Tell us why we should choose not to do it.
Well, the sad part is, and the part they never tell you in grade school when you and Eileen were just recounting doing the pledge, they never actually tell you much about the creator, Francis Bellamy, and his cohort, James Upman, and also Francis's cousin, Edward Bellamy, who's an author. They were National Socialists. Francis Bellamy and Edward Bellamy were self-proclaimed National Socialists, socialists in the nationalism movement, their own terms. They supported what they called, their term, military socialism. Edward Bellamy wrote a book called Looking Backward that explained or told about a world in which military socialism existed. And they did this because they admired the military. They thought it was highly efficient system, and they wanted that system to be imposed on the entire society, the entire economy. They wanted everybody to ape the military. And that's where they came up with the term military socialism. And as their Edward's book, Looking Backward, was an international bestseller. He wrote his book in 1888. The Pledge of Allegiance was written by Francis Bellamy, his cousin, in 1892. His book was translated into every major language, including German, Russian, and Chinese. Both, you know, the big three, the three big socialist atrocities. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics ends up killing 62 million people. China, the People's Republic of China, kills 35 million. And, of course, the National Socialist German Workers' Party comes in around 21 million slaughtered. And they were all influenced by this big National Socialism movement of Edward Bellamy's. He had clubs all over the world, including in Germany, and the clubs were called nationalism clubs. So it just I can keep going. It
well, here, here's what I
here's scarier and scarier the more I talk about it.
Okay, well let's back up a little bit now. Bellamy, Francis Bellamy, pens the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, Pledge
right.
of Allegiance back then, if my memory serves, it sounds pretty good. It says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." There isn't anything in there. It's very patriotic sounding, regardless of what Bellamy's roots were. And I grant you that he was probably a socialist. What is wrong with the pledge itself?
The pledge itself, of course, when a socialist and when Francis Bellamy says those very words that you just repeated, he means the complete opposite of what you and I mean. When a socialist tells you liberty and justice for all, he's telling you he wants to steal all your money, enslave you, and, of course, in the Bellamy philosophy, impose upon you military socialism. That's his concept of liberty and justice for all. And, of course, he not only said so, wrote about socialism, extolling it to anyone who would listen, as well as Edward, but he gave us the government school system. One of the reasons for the original pledge, as it was written, was to promote a government takeover of education, to create socialist schools, the socialized school system that we have today. And he succeeded, as you know. Most children today are educated in government schools where they are taught to embrace socialism, and they, of course, get their Social Security numbers while they're still in the cradle. They're applying for it before they even get out of the hospital so that the government can track them and steal from them their entire lives. And that's what happens. We have massive socialism, an enormous government, incredible debt, spending that is out socializing Clinton by double now, and that's in social spending alone. It just gets worse and worse. All the horrible things that Francis and Edward Bellamy did to the USA.
Well, I can't fault you for your feeling about socialism, but socialism, first of all, we can agree or disagree on whether or not it's a good system. I disagree with it and agree with you on it. However, I'm going back to the pledge itself and the straight arm salute. Now, to me, the Pledge of Allegiance, first of all, doesn't at any time bring in any thought of socialism, quite the opposite. But it was adopted back, I don't know, what year was the Pledge of Allegiance adopted?
Well, technically, when you use the term adopted, that raises a question of what you mean. Yeah. He wrote it in 1892. Many schools started adopting it as their own government school systems, which at that time were basically similar to what they are now, essentially state and local operations, although now we have a lot more involvement with the Department of Education and the federal government. They would start adopting the salute. As far as the Congress getting involved, this is an amazing part, too, that your listeners have, I'm sure, never heard before in their lives. Congress doesn't actually create the hand over the heart as an official part of the flag rules that they have today until after we're in World War II, after, the National Socialist German Workers' Party gains a dictatorship in 1933 after it invades Poland with under a conspiracy with the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics as their allies to invade Poland and divide up Europe. All through all of this, and including the 1936 Olympics with Jesse Owens, kids all over the U.S. are doing the Heil Hitler salute, and Congress finally gets so embarrassed that in 1942 they end up saying that we should do the hand over the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would seem to me that, first of all, we were still doing a little bit of a pointing and salute. I think I was, at least, for a year or two when I was real young. But let me just, again...
No, you're absolutely right. The young kids, it varied. You had variations all over the country.
Right.
And the young kids, they had sometimes a more simplistic statement and a more simplistic salute, such as, I give my heart and my head to my country. And they would point their heart and their head and the flag because they were little kids and it seemed like it was simpler.
Now, do you have a problem with the words of the Pledge of Allegiance itself?
Oh, yes, definitely, because they were written
What part of the pledge bothers you?
The entire thing because I know what it means. I know what it meant
to the person who
wrote it, and I know what it means to the people who are standing next to me when they recite it. It's being recited by people who love the Social Security system, who want to preserve it and expand it, who love the income tax and want to take more of my money, who love the government schools, have no intention of ending those schools, who love all the horrible things that are happening in this country and want even more of it. And, yes, I understand exactly what it means to these people. I understand what it meant to Francis Bellamy and Edward Bellamy. It meant disgusting things that in other countries led to the worst slaughter in human history, millions of people dying because of their dogma and how it inspired other people with a similar socialist dogma.
Okay, but the words themselves don't conjure any of these things that you're talking about up in my mind, and I don't think that they conjure up that in most people's minds. Now, granted, you know, maybe a lot of people that say the pledge believe those things, but I would venture to say when most of us, or let's say the entire country, would engage, or anybody engage in the Pledge of Allegiance, those things don't come to mind. So,
no, you don't think that most of the kids, when they're in school, pledging allegiance to the flag, you don't think that they support government schools?
Well, when I was little, and even today, if I would say the Pledge of Allegiance, those things don't come to mind. And I'm very much...
Well, it's just because they haven't had. I mean, you could stop them right there in the middle of pledge and say, hey, what do you kids think about government schools? And I think you and I know exactly what they would say. They're dandy.
Well, Paul, now, didn't you go to Catholic school?
I started out in a public school.
Okay.
And then I went to a Catholic school. The years I'm talking about... We're a Catholic school for the second and third grade.
Okay, did you say the Pledge of Allegiance in school?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it wouldn't necessarily, I mean, we say it in meetings and...
Yeah, I was in a you mean the point is that
right.
I was in a private school at that
uh-huh.
time. Yeah, and I continued through Catholic grade school and we said the pledge.
Yeah, and we say it at different meetings that are strictly for promoting, you know, free business and entrepreneurship and capitalism. So I have to say that by and large, I don't think I have to agree with you, Paul, that saying the pledge doesn't conjure up any kind of socialistic ideas in my head, quite the opposite.
Well, I was thinking here just for a moment, Rex, if we just let's take a look at the words. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America. Do you have a problem with that alone?
Oh, absolutely. We as free people should not be pledging allegiance. We should be declaring our independence. That's what real Americans do. They declare their independence from government. They declare their independence from socialism. You do not pledge your allegiance to it, and that is what you
okay.
should not do.
And how about this? And to the republic for which it stands, why would we not want to, why would we be worried about that particular part of the pledge?
Who of us here pledges their allegiance to all of the things that encompass our republic? Social Security, out-socializing Clinton by double in social spending alone, government schools, rampant taxation, regulation, socialism of every stripe and size. You do not pledge your allegiance to that. Your show is about not pledging your allegiance to that, trying to stop it and reverse it. And again, you should declare your independence from all of that.
Sure. I'm not pledging my allegiance to some of the things going on currently in the government. When I would do the pledge, I'm pledging to the constitutional form of government we have in this country, which includes a republic.
Well, nobody next to you is doing that. I mean, you both mentioned your
how do you
groups
know?
That you're in.
How do you know, though?
I said to you, if you stop these kids pledging it, or if you stop people in most groups who are pledging, and you said to them, tell me what you think about government schools, tell me what you think about Social Security, tell you me what you think about this, that, and the other, you know what they'd say. They'd say, oh, those are all wonderful things. They're great things. We need to save those things, spend more money,
well, kids,
blah,
I,
blah, blah.
I know this. When I was
They're
young,
socialists.
When I was young, believe me, not any of those thoughts entered my mind. And I'm talking about in the early 50s when I'm pledging. First
you don't
of all,
think that even then,
no.
if they had stopped the pledge
I
right
would,
in the middle and said, Paul and everybody, what do you think about government schools? What would you say?
I'd say, what time is recess? Because I was so little that I didn't, I think perhaps
Well, maybe when you were real young and didn't even think like that, but you know what, yeah. Well, you know what's going to go on in junior high and high school.
We mindlessly parroted the Pledge of Allegiance, frankly, when I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. Now, as you get older and you start to think of the words, and again, I'm thinking of them now as an adult, I don't see anything in there that conjures up in my mind some of the bad things that I agree with you on about government, which includes the overspending, the socialistic approach in health care, and all the other things.
Yeah, the other problem with your analysis is you're, of course, separating it from what's actually happening. For example, you're analyzing the words, but the circumstances are such that they're in a socialized school that's run by the government. They're saying the pledge when the government rings the bell in a routine, a ritual that is repeated every day at the same time for 12 years of their lives, in which they are led by a government employee in the government schools. And, in fact, in most states, they are required by law to listen to this. The teachers are required by law to go through this routine every day. They're compelled to do this. And on top of all this, all the things I'm telling you have never been told to these kids. They've been lied to. They have not been informed or educated about this, because you and I both know what would happen if they heard everything I'm telling you in this show today. None of them would do it. They'd all stop doing it. The pledge would cease to exist.
Well, and I don't know these days if all of the schools are giving the pledge. Is that a choice now dependent upon the kind of school that they're in?
Well, the private ones don't have to do it. In Florida, though, Florida has a law that requires the ritual to be performed by the school and by the teacher every morning. By law, it's compelled.
Okay.
The only reason they aren't making the children do it is because of a Supreme Court ruling. They would like to do that. You know that they would love to do it. They think that the Supreme Court ruling is wrong, and the history is that they used to. We originally had a Supreme Court ruling that said they could do that. They would persecute the children, force them to chant it and go through the motions, do the Heil Hitler salute and chant it, and if they didn't, and if the parents didn't make them, they would use the government to try to seize the children from the parents as being unfit parents, because they wouldn't make the kid do the pledge. And there was violence. There was grotesque violence, not only committed by the government, but, of course, by all the yahoos that the government inspired because of this.
Well, I don't know what to think of what you're saying. I think there's quite a leap between pledging to the flag. Now, let me ask you one thing about the salute itself. Now, the salute originally was before the Nazi Party.
Yes.
Okay. Where did that come about? Was that also a part of Bellamy's pledge?
Yes, I heard you and Eileen chatting about it, and I'll try to recollect some of the points that came up. I think Eileen's grandmother described it with the palm up, which is absolutely correct. If you read the original description by Bellamy, which also he was collaborating with James Bailey Upham, the original description had the palm up. The interesting part is, and this is the part that nobody knows, in fact, I'm the one who discovered these items that I'm describing for you tonight. The original pledge began with a military salute, again, hearkening back to Francis's love of the military. I believe Bailey actually suggested the military salute, but of course it was a collaborative effort, and Francis loved the military, so it fit right in. He started with the classic military salute, as you know, with the hand pointing downward at the eyebrow, right? Just the way they do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, "I pledge allegiance," while holding the military salute. He would extend his arm outward at that time and complete the rest of the pledge with, as he described it, the palm turned upward, almost as if, and I'm telling you this, as if to say, there's the flag, gesturing towards the flag. "I pledge allegiance," stick the hand out, palm upward, as if to say, there's the pledge. You recite the rest of the chant, all right? Okay. The interesting part is that when you look at the actual historical photographs, which, by the way, your people can see by typing in original Pledge of Allegiance, for example, in a Google search, and use the image choice that you have for Google for images, or type in quotes, original Pledge of Allegiance, in quotation marks, and hit the image choice for Google, and you'll see the pictures. And when you look at the pictures, you can see that kids aren't doing it right.
I see.
The reason the kids aren't always doing it right is because kids are like today. Sometimes they really don't care. They're doing it perfunctorily. They're doing it casually. So when they would do the military salute, I pledge allegiance, they would just shove the arm out there. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't turn it over the way Bellamy originally described it. So this is how you get the classic hard stylized Nazi salute. Or to put it in other words, the Nazi salute is an extended military salute. And the other interesting thing about it, the common myth, it is not an ancient Roman salute. That is a myth.
Mm. Well, now I realize when I was 7 years old and doing that salute, they came out with these little mustaches and they put them on all of us. And then they tried to put this little red armband on me, and I didn't know what it was, but no, of course I'm kidding here a little bit. But Rex, what you're talking about is very interesting. We appreciate your coming on. We've run out of time, but how can people find out more about your concern about the pledge? Where do they go?
RexCurry.net, and I'll try to even put some links up for your callers. Of course, the Nazi thing is interesting, the analogy you draw, because remember, during this time, the government schools that Bellamy wanted to take over all of education were segregated. They imposed segregation by law and taught racism in schools. So it all becomes even more terrifying when you think, well, these kids are doing the Nazi salute, they're in racist government schools, and then you end up with the Nazi party emulating it years later.
Well, and every time I think about standing up there, didn't realize I was cultivating myself for to be joining the Nazi party a little bit later. But listen, again, Rex, thank you very much for coming on. We wish you the very best. And it's rexcurry.net, is that right?
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
All right, my friend. Take good care.
You too.
We're going to be coming right back to take a two-minute break, and we've got Maureen Martin coming up. We hope you'll stand by. We're going to talk about Judge John Roberts, the Supreme Court. Don't go away.